reminder to media members on the line, if you have questions for the coaches this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. We now welcome onto the call the head coach of the Jamie Dukes, Kurt Cignetti. Good morning, Coach Cignetti.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. As I was just talking to Coach Santos, a very impressive performance for your team coming off the bye with a 54-16 win over a strong New Hampshire team. What impressed you with the way your team played?
Well, you know, we didn't quite start like we wanted to. You know, they jumped up on us 10-3. You know, you're talking about the trick play and then kick the field goal on another drive. But, you know, from that point on, you know, we really took command, I think, you know, on offense, defense. Our teams were good, too. And, you know, the offense, number one offense, never punted in the game. And there was one punt total, and that was when the twos were in. And, you know, defense shut them out the last three quarters and held them to 16 yards of total offense in the second quarter. We won the second quarter 20-0. So we really executed well on offense. We ran the ball well. Ben was very sharp. We got after him on defense. And, you know, we got the momentum and, you know, never let go.
Several questions in queue, if you'll get those for us, Alexander.
We have a question from Dave Thomas from ESPN Radio Harrisonburg. Your line's open.
Good morning, Coach. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning.
Talk about the second trick play the New Hampshire tried to run. Had you seen some semblance of that on film? Because you guys snuffed it out fairly well, I thought.
No, I've never really seen that one before. You know, I know the intent you know, it was well designed. Rashad Robinson did a really good job. We were in, you know, man coverage. It was a tight formation of staying with his guy. And then Adam Smith, of course, got back into the middle of the field and made the play. I think it's his fourth straight game with an interception. He's got five on the year, got a nice return. We had some pressure from Wayne Davis on the field, which forced him to hurry the throw. And, you know, I thought that was a real critical play in the game.
And talk about Ben a little bit more, if you don't mind. Offensive player of the week, coming out of the bye week, how you saw him preparing last week, what your thoughts were going in about how he would play, and, of course, how he handled the situation entirely.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know how these games are going to go, but I thought Ben had great command. He was extremely accurate. We had some guys open with good protection. You know, they did a nice job of catching the ball. But he was, you know, in total control, and, you know, I thought he really played well. It still wasn't perfect. There are a couple of plays he'd like to have back. It's usually the case. But, you know, he's been playing pretty consistently all year long, and, you know, that position is critical, and, you know, we got to continue to get that kind of play. I think he's matured quite a bit. You know, he learned from his mistakes last season, maybe early in the season. And, you know, we're not putting too much pressure on him because we are able to run the ball effectively. So when we do throw it, you know, he's got some pretty nice looks. Or when we throw it on normal downs, we've got some nice looks with good protection. And, you know, he's doing a great job protecting the football. I mean, he's throwing 20 touchdown passes. He's got four interceptions. He's throwing about 70%. You know, pass efficiency is very high. And, you know, he's doing a nice job, and he still makes plays with his legs.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Your next question comes from the line of Greg Madia from the Daily News Record. Your line's open.
Hey, Kurt. What was there in a passing game that they kind of allowed the slot guy, Jake Brown, and then your tight ends to get involved Saturday? I know Jake probably had his most productive game since early in the season, and then Dylan catching his first touchdown of the year. Was there anything there that kind of opened things up for those guys?
You know, with the slot, it started out with a couple easy RPOs, quick out type of routes, and then, you know, on tape, they had shown to have some issues with the field wheel route, sort of a out and up type route from the slot, and we had not done any of that all year, so, you know, we put that in. And, you know, I thought Shane was kind of a play ahead most of the night, you know, with the play calling. So when we called that particular play, you know, we had set it up pretty well with the two quick outs, and, you know, it was wide open. And, you know, in Dylan's case, You know, that's a play we have run in the past. We ran that against West Virginia down in the red area. And, you know, we got the coverage we wanted, and he ran a really nice route, and Ben threaded the needle. And, you know, we were able to get, you know, that was a big touchdown for us at that time in the game. And Dylan's been, you know, extremely consistent all year long.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Wayne Epps from Richmond Times-Dispatch. Your line's open.
Hey, Coach. Looking at John Daca with some of the individual skill sets he brings to the table between his speed, the kind of jump he's able to get, how, you know, coming in this year, have you and Corey Heatherman maybe worked to kind of put some scheme things in to kind of maybe even amplify his individual skill sets to help fuel the type of year he's had this year?
Well, I think you got to look at it philosophically. You know, Corey's defensive philosophy is, you know, he wants to penetrate up front, cut the D-line loose, and be disruptive. You know, that's what they did at Maine. They were, you know, highly successful doing that. It's a little different than the philosophy in the past in terms of what they did up front. So, you know, a guy like all those guys really that were playing, you know, frees them up maybe to get more involved in TFLs and sacks. And, you know, John is a big time twitch guy with great get off and speed, and you know, he's a problem in pass protection, and, you know, he's been a problem in the run game. And just like Ben, every once in a while, you know, there's a few, you know, he doesn't always do exactly what he's supposed to do. That first counter came up, he came out, he's supposed to spill it. But, you know, those guys since really the fourth quarter of the Villanova game have really turned it on. And, you know, we're getting a lot of TFLs, a lot of sacks, we're getting turnovers, and we want a turnover ratio again, which is huge for us. And he's having a great year.
Okay, then with Joe Mancuso at Richmond, he's had a really strong, you know, last five games. What has maybe impressed you the most about how he's played, you know, in this recent stretch for Richmond?
They get a nice scheme. You know, they do a lot of different things to create conflict for you on defense. The ball is in his hand every play. He's their leading rusher, you know, over almost 700 yards, and he's number two in the conference in pass efficiency. So, you know, he's a very mobile guy. He's tough. And, you know, he can take the shots and still deliver the ball in the pass game, too. And they've got some weapons out there, you know, that they've added to their team. You know, they've got a real speed guy, another big guy. So, you know, he's just executing their offense, and they've done a great job. You know, they've won four impressive conference games in a row, and then went up to Villanova for their fifth and had the lead going into the fourth quarter. And, you know, Villanova played a good fourth quarter, so it came out with the win. But there's no doubt, you know, he's the guy, and he makes them go.
All right, thank you.
Kurt, we talked a lot last week about coming out of the bye and how your team would respond to that. You talked about trying to set the tone. Other than the slow start, were you pleased with the response coming out of the bye from your team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this was a pretty dominant win for us. You know, we played well. We got the rest we needed, and we're able to kind of stay sharp with the fundamentals. So, you know, it was encouraging. But, you know, now we've got to deal with kind of coming off a game where we played fairly well. There's still things to clean up against a real quality team, and you know, that's going to be a big challenge for us entering, you know, today. And but, you know, this is the right time of year to be playing well.
You clinched at least a share of the regular season title last week, but a win Saturday gets you the outright title. What would that mean, and how high is that among your list of goals coming into the season?
Well, it's certainly always a goal, and, you know, I think the focus is on the things we can control, and that's our preparation and our performance, and then everything else will take care of itself. I mean, I do think this team is on a mission. They're all focused on one thing, and it's a step-by-step process. So, you know, we want to be successful Saturday, and if we are, that certain things are going to happen. And but then there will be another game to prepare for, and then hopefully there's more games, you know, down the road. So, you know, we are process oriented. We understand, you know, our body of work has created a certain situation that we're in right now, but you know, in terms of you know, making it happen. You know, we got to have a good Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, et cetera.
All right, Kurt, thanks as always for your time here this morning, and look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.